Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt, and I'm so excited to share this morning's message from the book of Matthew. And so I hope you have your beverage of choice, your coffee. I'm going with a little sparkly water today. And I hope you have the Word of God, because we're going to continue our series in the book of Matthew. And if you remember, recall last week, we began Matthew chapter 5, and it's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus's longest recorded sermon in the scriptures, and he begins with the Beatitudes. It's these eight kingdom attitudes, if you will. The word beatitude, it actually comes from a Latin word, and it means to be blessed or to be happy. And so it's this idea that the attitudes in the kingdom are that of someone that's blessed or happy. And so if you're a Christ follower today, part of his kingdom, then part of the outpouring that is an attitude or a way of living that will lead to blessing or happiness. It just is. God's people, his kingdom people, are supposed to be a happy people. And God wants that for you, and I want that for you. And so, but if you recall last week, we began with the first two Beatitudes, and these Beatitudes feel unbelievably wrong. Like, it feels upside down to me. Like, there's things that Jesus will say, hey, this attitude is going to lead to blessing and happiness, and it just feels wrong. If you remember last week, like, Jesus begins with this: blessed are the poor in spirit. What? Poor in spirit? Like, first of all, we like to believe that we're kind of middle class in spirit. We're not like stuck up or think we're too good, but we're also don't think we're that bad, right? But what we found out, it's this idea is we realize apart from Jesus, we're unbelievably poor and dependent. And when you come to that realization, it's unbelievably freeing. It'll keep you near to Jesus, and it makes the gospel unbelievably spectacular. We also went on and said, blessed are those who mourn. What? Jesus, I don't understand how you're happy when you're mourning, okay? But what Jesus is saying, if you recall last week, that he's saying that blessed or happy are those that mourn or hate or lament sin in themselves and in the world. And so, but what we find out is as our love for Jesus increases, our hate of sin will increase as well. And it's unbelievably freeing. And so I thought we were going to bang out the rest of the Beatitudes this morning, and was I ever wrong? We're going to get to about two of them. So buckle up, because it might take us 4 years to get through the book of Matthew, but we're going to do it. And so we're going to look at two Beatitudes here this morning. And so these are the attitudes of the kingdom. Last week we called them the very heartbeat of God. And while these things, they can feel impossible to us, like it can be frustrating, because how do you change your heart, your passions, your affections? Like, here's how you don't do it. By, like, I'm gonna just self-discipline or white knuckle it, or I'm gonna will myself into a new heart. You can't do that, man. That's God's stuff. God is the one who can change our heart, our desires, our passions. And so what I want to do, I don't want to frustrate you. And so here's what I want to do this morning. I want you to focus on one thing. And this one thing, it'll change everything in your life. In fact, I was reminded of really one of my favorite coaches that I played for, hockey. He was a minor league coach. And I remember he pulled me aside one day and he said this. He said, Adam, do you want to play in the NHL one day? I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm here for. And he says, then you got to do one thing better than anybody else. And it was quite troubling, because I'm like, man, I don't do anything better than anybody else. But I found out I did everything pretty well. And so that was my one thing. And it got me into the NHL. Okay. And so, but this is one thing today that'll begin to change everything. And that one thing is this: union with Jesus Christ. Listen, as you just focus on being with Jesus, union with Jesus, it's in that place that it'll begin to transform your heart in everything else. And so we're going to talk about being near to Jesus as we look at these Beatitudes here this morning. And so, listen, I don't know how many can amen me on this. You can let me know. But I wasn't a country music guy, you know, like growing up, I was tortured and tormented by my mom. She had seen The Urban Cowboy. And so she had a cowboy hat and she loves horses. And so I was tormented by every time we got in the car, I had to listen to country music. So I got that's Charlie Daniels song. I can still, like, Devil Went Down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he's way behind. He was looking to make a deal, right? And so, see, that's my mom's fault. And Mom, I know you're listening to this, so that's on you. But I moved away from home at 16 years old and was trying to make it in pro hockey. And at 16, I moved up to Canada. I lived with a family there, and unbeknownst to me, their favorite music, you guessed it, country music. And so each morning when they would drive me to school, I'd be like, oh my gosh, if I listen to The Gambler one more time, you got to know when to, and like these songs just haunted me. Well, get this. Fast forward to just a couple weeks ago. I spent some time in the hospital, and they were just, I had some kind of weird infection in my foot or ankle area. And so they wanted to do an MRI. They were trying to figure out what was wrong. And so if you've ever been in an MRI, you know, it's unbelievably loud. So they give you headphones. And then I was confronted with this question, what kind of music do you want to listen to? And of course I said, Hillsong, worship music, please. That's not true. I lied. Okay. But what I did say, it might have been equally as bad as a lie. I said, I would like to listen to country music. I had to stop right there in the hospital room. I'm like, how did that happen to me? How did I become a country music lover? And here's how it happened. Susan Burt happened to me. Union with Susan began to change some things on the inside of me. And get this, I didn't even know it was happening. Like the more I think about it, like these 32 years I've been with my wife, do you get this? I'm embarrassed to say this stuff. I think I like HGTV now. That for years growing up, I hated sweet potatoes. But now since I've been married to this woman, you know, my appetites have changed. And man, I like sweet potatoes cold, hot, fried, baked. Man, I especially like the ones where you put all the marshmallows on top, that ooey gooey thing. Man, they're fantastic. And all of that came and changed on the inside of me because of union with my wife. And so here's what'll happen. See, as I oriented my life around her, it began to reorient things in my heart. And it's the same with Jesus. See, when you become a Christian, Jesus binds himself to you and to me. And as we stay close to him and near to him, we reorient our heart as we orient our life around him. And so union with Jesus Christ will transform your heart, the attitudes, and you will get the attitudes or the beatitudes of the kingdom of God. And now we're ready to start Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 5. Picking up in the Beatitudes. And so it reads like this. Matthew 5, verse 5, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And if I'm going to be brutally honest with you this morning, I hated that verse as a man. Like, because growing up, I read that thing. I'm like, I want to skip over that, man. I'm like, blessed are the meek, because in my mind, meek meant weak. And so I always felt that way until I heard biblical meekness defined. And are you ready for it? Here's what it is. Biblical meekness, it means this: strength under control. Strength under control. Do you know one of the definitions of this word? It actually means to tame a wild animal. See, I love that. Strength under control. Taming the beast, the wild animal inside of you. And listen to me, like, there is a wild animal inside of you. Like we have deep passions, desires, emotions. And listen, these emotions and passions, they're not wrong, but they are wild. And so they need to be tamed. They need to come under the control of the Holy Spirit, right? And so, for the record, this is going to be retro Every Nation, New Jersey this week. All right. And so I need to take you back in time. I can recall this memory as a little kid. Sunday evenings were magical because we got to watch the wonderful World of Disney. Now get this, if you're going back to my time as a kid, we had one TV with three channels and no remote. In fact, you as the kid, you were the remote. I remember my dad, he'd be like, son, flip it to channel 7 and turn the volume up, right? I was the remote control. But Sunday nights were different. In our one TV, Dad, he stopped watching sports. He stopped watching National Geographics and the news, God help us. But and he let us watch the wonderful World of Disney. And I still can remember, man, the time Pinocchio came on. And then, do you remember he had this little character, Jiminy Cricket? And Jiminy Cricket, he would sing this song, if you remember it. If you wish upon a star, doesn't matter who you are. Anything that you desire will come to you. And that'll be the last song I sing today. But if you remember that song, it's this idea, if you wish upon a star, everything you desire will be given to you. Well, the person singing that song, the voice of Jiminy Cricket, was actually a man by the name of Cliff Edwards. And Cliff Edwards, he had the voice of an angel, but he also had a very broken spirit. And so Cliff Edwards became very successful in life and said he was unable to tame the wild animal on the inside of him. And listen, his passions and his desires, he just gave way to it all until that wild animal inside him absolutely destroyed his life. He went bankrupt 4 times. He was married 3 times. He was addicted to alcohol and smoking cigarettes, which deteriorated his voice and eventually his health. He became addicted to drugs and later on to gambling. And so his career was destroyed and devastated. See, he couldn't tame the wild beast on the inside of him, and it absolutely destroyed him. And listen, Jesus wants something better for you in your life. There's a guy, many of you know Don De La Pena, a guy in our church, and Don, he has a jiu-jitsu studio, and I've been discipling Don, and he's been doing an unbelievable job. But I went and met him at his jiu-jitsu studio, and we were there, and I'm like, hey man, maybe you can show me a couple things. And so he can disciple me in jiu-jitsu. And so it was great, man. I just said, man, if there's just one move, like tell me what I need to know. And he said this. He began, he's like, PA, you need to be aware of two kinds of guys. He says, number one, if you see a guy with cauliflower ears, if you ever seen them like thick cartilage-like ears, he says, Adam, you beware of those guys. That guy's either a wrestler or an MMA guy. He's an experienced fighter. You don't want any part of that person. He says, and there's another kind of guy. If there's a guy who is calm amidst chaos, he says, you better beware of that guy. Because that guy knows who he is and what he can do. And so have you ever seen this guy? There's chaos. See, the posers are the ones making all kinds of noise and doing all this. But the guys that are calm and under control because they know what they can do, those are the guys you've got to be aware of. And Jesus. Can we just talk about Jesus being a man of strength under control? Like Jesus, here he was. He's the all-powerful God. And he was beaten. He was even blindfolded and struck. And they said, prophesy now. Who struck you? That even at this time, they spit in his face. And I just can't imagine the self-control of Jesus, who knew who he was, what he can do, and had the power to control himself in that moment. See, he displayed in the perfect humanity, meekness that we're to display in this life. And so Don, he gave me one more move, okay? And so I'll share it with you free of charge. Don said this. He says, PA, if you ever, there's things get heated up with somebody, he says, just put your hands up like this. And I said, really? And he's like, yeah, put your hands up like this. And he says it immediately disarms people. It'll activate the kind of the tension and the fire going on. And so he says also when your hands are up like this, you can block punches. And then he says if you feel like you can take the guy and you do want to fight him, you can also slap him in the face. And every guy knows if you slap a guy in the face, he will lose his mind and it's on. Okay. And so, but I'm a pastor and we don't do those types of things. But here's what I think. I think hands up is a great posture of our heart when it comes to our passions, our emotions, and our desires. See, we surrender these things to the Spirit of the living God because we want to be people that are meek because blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Listen, passions, desires, emotions, they're unbelievably powerful. And once again, they're not wrong. They're just wild. And so they have the power to build up or to tear down. They have the power to bring life or to rob us of life. And so they need to be controlled. Like, think of it this way. Fire has the ability to warm your home or to burn that thing to the ground. Electricity can light up a room. It can also light you up if it's not handled properly. And so, see, what we need to do, we've learned with fire and electricity, is to put boundaries around these things and to be able to direct them in such a way that leads to human flourishing. And Jesus is the same way. Do you know that God, He gives us commands and He gives us the conviction of the Holy Spirit, not to rob us of life, but to create these safe boundaries whereby He leads us into life, into human flourishing. And so here's what I'll say is this is, see, some of us, we lack self-control and the wild animal is loose. And we can see, and if you don't believe me, just look in the rearview mirror of your life. Like there's carnage, there's people, there's broken relationships. Why? Because there's something inside of you that you can't control and it comes out of you. And for some of us, it's our tongue. It's our mouth. All right. And you've burned up relationships. You've burned up other people through gossip and just through backbiting and these different types of things. James will say it this way in James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, so also the tongue or the mouth is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and it's set on fire by hell. And so some of us, man, our tongue and our mouth, it just we just can't seem to ever get control of this thing. And we hurt people, we hurt our family, we screw up relationships, and then afterwards we just feel what? Remorse, we feel self-hate. We have a lot of, oh, I wish I would have, I wish I could do it over, all these different types of things. And listen, Jesus wants to free you of that. He wants to free you of that because blessed are the meek. They're the ones that are going to inherit the earth. And so some of us, it's not our mouth, but it's anger, rage, frustration. Am I talking to anybody here today? Like inside of you is this wild tiger just waiting to pounce. Sometimes this anger bubbles up, this frustration bubbles up, and we don't even know where it's coming from, man, but it just takes that one thing to set us off, and then it's like we black out and we lose control. Is that just me? So here'll be a time of confession. I've made it no secret that often when I'm behind the wheel, they're not my most godly moments. And so I remember one time I was stuck in New York City, the Lincoln Tunnel traffic. And man, we're just like just putzing along here one by one. And then I don't know what happened, whatever come, but there's this car next to me. This guy looks at me and he gives me the bird, man. He's like, he just says, you're number one. And then he keeps going. And I'm like, man, that's the last thing I remember. Because I was like, oh, he got ahead of me. But then the light changed for him and he got a red light and I got to pull up next to him. And I remember I put the car in park. I got out of the car. I looked at that dude. I rapped on his window. You get out of the car. So he didn't get out of the car by the grace of Jesus alone. Listen, do you realize by me doing that, I have set myself up for a lose-lose situation. Why? Because I didn't control my passions and my desires. So it was a nothing good could come of this. Either I'm going to get beat him up, assault and battery, congratulations, pastor, or he's going to beat me up, which might even be worse, okay? And so nothing good comes when we let our passions and desires be in the driver's seat in our life. They need to be submitted, tamed by the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus wants to set you free from that. And so as we experience union with Christ, as we stay near to Him, the Spirit of God begins to work. He works on the inside of us. Do you know that one of the fruits of the Spirit is this: self-control. And as we unite our life with Jesus, the Spirit of God goes to work, and He begins to weave in a self-control to our life. I don't know if you ever pay attention to this, but you know that people that lack self-control, people that lack meekness, you know, they're not safe people to be around. People don't feel secure and safe, and so they're pretty alone. But those that exhibit self-control, the biblical meekness, they're unbelievably attractive. Like, people are drawn to the security and the safety of being in their world, and it's for that reason that blessed are the meek. That's the type of person that's going to inherit the earth. Let's look at the second beatitude this morning. Matthew chapter 5, reading verse 6, it says this: "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And so I got permission from my daughter to say this. So listen, my daughter Cassie, I believe she has an inner food demon. Okay. We've even given her a name, Brigitte. Can anyone resonate? Like, if you've seen those Snicker commercials, when you get hangry and you become a different person, well, that's my daughter, man. Well, she gets hungry, but she's grown in grace recently that she phones us and warns us ahead of time. "I haven't eaten all day. Brigitte is hungry." And then as soon as we hang up the phone, my wife and I are in a mad panic. "Hurry, hurry, baby, come on. We got to get some food, do something," you know? And so we're in this mad panic going on. But in those times when my daughter's in the house and she's looking through the cupboards, I don't know, this will resonate with some of you. Like you're hungry, but you don't know what it's for. And so you're looking through cupboards that are filled with food, a refrigerator filled with food, and then you have the audacity to turn around and say, "There's nothing to eat in this house," which is unbelievably not true. See, but what you're saying is, like, listen, I'm craving something, and none of these things are going to fill it and satisfy it. And if I was to ask you, "Well, what are you craving?" And you're like, "I don't know," right? And so we've all been there before, I think. I hope it's not just me and my family. But see, I think that's a picture of the human condition, the human heart. Like we talk about this all the time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says that God, that He's put eternity inside of our heart. Like we have this eternal whole. You and I have been designed for God. I'll remind you of C.S. Lewis's quote. He says, if I find in my heart a craving that nothing in this world can satisfy, maybe I was made for another world." And you were. Do you know that Colossians chapter 1, it says this, that you were made by God and for God. Like, God and you, like, you fit this idea. And so when sin tore us apart from God, it left this God-sized hole. And now here, particularly in the West, we just try to cram this God hole with all kinds of stuff. Money, maybe that'll fill the hole and it'll satisfy. Sex, maybe that'll fill the hole and satisfy. Maybe more money will fill the hole. Maybe different kind of sex will do it. You fill in the blank what it is for you. And listen, you're going to keep doing all these things, but it's not going to fill a God-sized hole. Okay, retro TV again. All right, you with me? For the record, if you're 35 and under, you'll have no idea what I'm talking about, so you can Google it. Do you remember Fantasy Island? Like, do you remember the show? Like, it was a staple in our house. And so if you remember how it would start, like the plane would start coming in, Mr. Rourke, Ricardo Montalban, you remember him? All decked out in the white, and Ricardo Montalban would come out, Mr. Rourke, and he'd be like, places, people, places. And you remember, like, little tattoo, his little sidekick, he's up in the bell tower, ringing the bell, losing his mind, the plane, boss. And they come down, and remember, the plane comes in, and there's all these passengers come to Fantasy Island, and how does he greet them? Welcome to Fantasy Island. But if you've seen that show, and you only need to see one, because it's the same show over and over and over again, it's a group of people that think this thing, this fantasy, maybe this person, maybe this dream or this career, it's this thing that's going to make the world right and me right. And you know what? Every movie is just us screaming, it's not going to satisfy you. It doesn't work, and it never did. All right. And so, listen, there's one thing that can change everything in your life, and that is a union with Jesus Christ. See, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then, like righteousness, just think right relationship with Jesus. See, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for right relationship with Jesus. Do you remember the promise? You will be satisfied. Like, you will live a satisfied life as you experience union with Jesus. You know, David, the great king and psalmist, he figured this out. Psalm 42, verse 1, he says this, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. Did you hear that? There's this, oh Lord, I'm hungering and thirsting for a relationship with you, because that's the only thing that'll satisfy. There's another guy, Brother Lawrence is his name. He wrote this classic book called The Practicing of the Presence. And this monk would practice the presence of God, witness, union with Jesus. And he tried to every waking moment of his life feel and sense Jesus. But he said this, there's things that tried to pull him away from that awareness of God and distract him. And he wrote about it. And he says this, if sometimes my thoughts wander from it by necessity or infirmity, I am presently recalled by inward motions, something inside him so charming and delicious that I'm ashamed to mention them. Did you get that? Like, he had practiced union with Jesus so much that the moment he begins to wander or get distracted from that relationship, he says, there's this delicious feeling on the inside of me that woos me and draws me back to union with God. Like there's this deep soul satisfaction. It's the union with Jesus is the one thing that can satisfy everything in your life, because blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be satisfied. Sorry, I'm going to quote C.S. Lewis again, but if you've ever read the books, The Screwtape Letters, it's written by C.S. Lewis, and it's a difficult read, man, because Lewis is writing from the perspective of a demon. And this senior demon is training up a junior demon in ways that he can distract humanity from the enemy, who is God, right? And so that's the idea behind it. And so here's what Lewis says in the Screwtape Letters on how to pull people away from God out of union with Christ. And here's what he said. He says, an ever-increasing craving for an ever-diminishing pleasure is the formula to get a man's soul and give him nothing in return. That is what really gladdens the heart of Satan and the devils. So did you hear what Lewis is saying? Is these little things that distract, or we just begin to nibble on, and then we need a little more and a little more and a little more. And it's these things that are pulling us away and distracting us from Jesus. And so I want to ask, could you just take a moment? Like, what are those things in your life, these little cravings, these things you nibble on or are distracted by, that are slowly but surely drawing you away from your relationship with Jesus or union with God? Like, for some of us, it's social media. Dude, you're just like nonstop on your device doing all this stuff, and Jesus is the last thing on your mind. For some of us, man, it's binge watching Netflix and all these kind of things, and you're just kind of dumbifying your life And what you're drifting away in your relationship with God. For some of us, it's sports or leisure. Some of us, man, it's all our kids' activities and just the busyness of life. And you're so busy that you're too busy for Jesus. And listen, I'll throw myself under the bus. I get caught up in the busyness of ministry, and I'm so busy working for Jesus that I don't have time for a relationship with Jesus. And it's an absolute cancer to the soul, because union as Christ is where you find satisfaction and rest. Samson, if you're familiar with him in your scriptures, like Samson had this unbelievable calling on his life to be a deliverer and a judge for Israel, God's people. And what did he do? He kept getting distracted more and more by drink, by women, by partying, until eventually he drifts so far from God. We read this, probably the most terrifying verse in scripture. Judges 16 verse 20 says this. It says, "But Samson, he did not know that the Lord had left him." That's a terrifying, terrifying voice to me. And so last story here is my family and I, we went to St. Croix about 2 years ago. We're My wife and I were celebrating our 30th anniversary, and we rented a big home in St. Croix, and we invited all our family. We were just going to blow it out for, you know, our 30-year anniversary, and so invited a bunch of friends to celebrate with us. But it was right after a major hurricane had whipped through there, and we were like, oh, man, we rented this place. We don't even know if we're going to have electricity. Well, we got electricity, but there was no cable and no satellite. But the good news was my daughter brought a series of DVDs with her. But unfortunately, they were all Nicholas Sparks movies. Are you with me? Like, do you know who Nicholas Sparks is? Like, he did like The Notebook, A Walk to Remember. There are all these romantic stories, and they all ended this way horribly. Like, someone dies and it's like not good that way. And so I watched 6 Nicholas Sparks movies on that vacation. And in fact, like, the estrogen level was so high in me after watching all these movies, I had to then follow it up by binge watching all 9 of the Fast and Furious franchise shows, you know. And so it upped the testosterone again. And so that's not true at all. I've not even seen one of those shows. But anyways, but one of the Nicholas Sparks movies was this one. It was called The Longest Ride. It's the story of this bull rider. It was Scott Eastwood. Have you seen this kid? It's Clint Eastwood's kid. Man, this dude is way too good looking. It's not fair. You shouldn't be allowed to be that good looking. And so Scott Eastwood, he plays this guy who's a bull rider. And if you're familiar with bull riding, like, you got to stay on 8 seconds. And so it's called The Longest Ride. And he's a conflicted young man, because it's not good for his health that he bull rides, you know. And his love interest, Sophia, she's like, hey, listen, it's either me or bull riding. And so he's got this tug of war in his soul. What am I going to do? Do I quit, or do I go with her? And so there's this unbelievably powerful scene between he and his mother. And as he's just saying, you know, I need to ride, because I got to take care of you. And his whole identity was caught up in this bull riding. And I love his mom. She just had this mic drop moment. She said this. She says, that bull is 8 seconds. That's all it is. 8 seconds of your life. But that girl, man, she's the rest of your entire life. And man, that just hit me right there. Because isn't that the story? Like we're tempted and provoked by these little things that give us momentary pleasure. And what do? We sacrifice everlasting joy with Jesus. We nibble on these things and we're distracted. And what does it do? We get this moment of pleasure, and it very quickly fades. And then it leaves us distant from Almighty God. It's 8 seconds, and Jesus is the rest of your life. He is more than that. Jesus is eternity. Why would you sacrifice for 8 seconds of pleasure, eternal and lasting joy? Last question is this: how is your relationship with Jesus? Come on, do you feel near to Jesus right now? If not, man, you need to invite Jesus. You need to start doing those things. I'm reminded of the book of Revelations. It says this: hey, do what you did at the start, at the beginning of your relationship. Are you near to him? Do you hunger and thirst for him? Because listen to me, blessed, happy are those who hunger and thirst for right relationship with Jesus, for they will be satisfied. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Lord, I just want to pray for all those within earshot here this morning, those of you watching. Lord, I want to pray, Lord, that there are just, that as men and women, they fight for union with you, Lord, in their time, God, in their activities, in their thought life, and in their heart. Lord, I pray that God, that the fruit of the Spirit of God would begin to blossom on the inside. Lord, I pray for those areas of anger and maybe our mouth, where we lack self-control. I pray just that the Spirit of God would begin to weave in strength to be able to tame the animal within us. And Lord, I want to pray as well for those, God. I pray for right relationship with you. Oh Lord, would you restore the joy of our salvation this morning? Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we trust you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, the message is over, but we're not quite finished yet, because I really want to thank you. For those of you that have been just faithful in your tithing and your giving, I just want to say thank you, that we've made it through a very difficult season because of God's faithfulness and yours. And so you can continue to give your tithe or your offering, or if our ministry has been a blessing to you, you can give three ways. Virtually, you can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via PushPay. My family and I give this way. It's unbelievably convenient. You just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977. Or if you'd like, you can mail in your tithe or your offering right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. Last favor I'd like to ask of you. Listen, if you've enjoyed our messages and our services, would you just do me an unbelievably solid favor? And that's this. Do you think you could, if you're watching us via Facebook, could you like our Facebook page? That would help get the word out. Or if you're watching via YouTube, would you subscribe to our YouTube channel? It will help us. You would actually be partnering with us in spreading the good news of the gospel. And last but not least, if you would like to speak to a member of our staff or a pastor, we have a virtual Zoom ministry call that you can get on at 11 a.m. this morning. The number should be coming up on your screen, and you can get with a virtual minister that could pray with you, counsel you. If you have questions about the church, they're there to answer it for you. And so listen, God bless you. God loves you. And I think you're pretty amazing as well. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.